was the mid-1990s. I think it was the fall of 1994. I was pastor at Cockrell Hill United Methodist Church in Oak Cliff, which is on the southwest side of Dallas. I'd been there for a couple of years. I enjoyed ministry in this church. It was a church filled with senior citizens. On Father's Day, the youngest father present was my own dad, which tells you something. It was a church that had been through great times and now was going through rocky times. It was going through times of decline and times of wonder as the community changed, wonder what was going to happen to them. It was a difficult time in the life of the congregation. It was difficult living there. It was a crime area, a severe crime area in Oak Cliff. The church was on Clarendon, and Clarendon was the boundary between two different gang groups. And so there's a lot of violence that occurred along that boundary line. Homes would be attacked, cars would be attacked, tagging went on both sides of the boundary. It was a difficult time to be there, to live there. The house next to the parsonage was a drug house at one time. The DEA took it out while I was there. It was a fascinating experience. It was a frightening experience to hear the gunshots in the middle of the night up and down the street. But during the day, it wasn't so bad. I mean, you could get out, you could get around, you could visit church members without much danger. You could go to the grocery stores and the restaurants. You could go to the park. There was a park just down the street from the church that was nicely appointed. The grass was maintained. The trees were nice and trim. The playground equipment was in good working order. It was a place you wouldn't want to go at night, but during the day it wasn't so much of a problem. Well, it was probably September or October of that year, and I was out in that park walking. I had taken to walking myself and my dog. Sometimes it was my dog walking me. Muskie was a great big black lab, and so, you know, I could have ridden her like a horse, pretty much. She was that big of a dog, and normally I would take her with me on these little walks, but this day, for some reason, I did not take her. And I was out, I'd walked down from the church to the park, and I was walking in the park, enjoying the day, enjoying the cool breeze and the beautiful bright sunshine and the fall colors that were starting to show themselves in the trees, and I was just having a wonderful time. There weren't a whole lot of people in the park. It was mid-morning. School was in session. And I was walking along one of the walking trails through some of the trees in the wooded area, and I rounded a corner, and there facing me was a young man and three men behind him, and he had a knife in his hand. And he said to me, "Give me your stuff." And so I did what I had always been taught to do. When someone brandishes a weapon at you and says, "Give him your stuff," you give him your stuff. Thank you. Your stuff is replaceable. You are not. So I took off my watch, and I reached in my pocket and took out my wallet, and I handed both to him. He took them, hit me over the face with the butt of his knife. I went down, and they ran. I was very, very, very lucky. I was indeed very blessed to still be here, for that it was just the butt end of the knife and not the pointy end that hit me. Well, it was a terrifying experience. It was a startling experience. I had never been mugged before. And so you're standing there shaking and you're not knowing what to do. I went down the street to the police station, which was next door to the church. Wow, how lucky. And I went in and made my report. And I was told by the police officer, "You will probably never get any of it back. Go home, call your credit card companies, cancel those accounts. You won't get any of the money back. You have to go to the DMV, get a new driver's license. If there's any personal information in there, you might have to get that changed and corrected. And we'll put a police cruiser across the street from your house tonight just to make sure they don't come to get you there because of your address on your driver's license." So I was shaky and not feeling good, and that night wasn't fun. The next morning I got up and I went to church, and as I got to the office, I saw a police car out in front of it, and they said they needed to talk to me. And so I went to the police station, and the detective handed me my watch and my wallet. The credit cards were there. The money was not. The ID was there. Insurance card was there. My watch was fine, wasn't broken. And he said to me, you got it back for a very unusual reason. And he said, you got it back because over the night, the fellow who stole this from you was murdered by his own gang. What? And he opened my wallet, and he took out my driver's license. And he showed it to me. This is why they killed him. This is why you have it back. You were pictured wearing a clerical collar. This gang is a very superstitious gang. And when they thought that one of their initiates, because this was a gang initiation, when they thought one of their initiates had attacked, had mugged a priest, a pastor in the community, they killed him rather than risk the bad juju of killing a priest, which didn't make sense to me. They killed him? They killed him because I was wearing a collar in the ID photo? And as the police officer was, he was happy. Yes, he should have been arrested. Yes, he should have been incarcerated. Yes, he should have gone through rehabilitation with our criminal justice system. But dead? He and others told me, no, it wasn't because of you that he died. I couldn't help it. It felt like that to me. If I'd been dressed like I normally am during the week instead of in uniform, he might still be alive. He was just a thief. He didn't deserve death. He was just a thief whose life was snuffed out because of a horrible mistake. Several horrible mistakes. He was just a thief, just like this thief on the cross next to Jesus. There were two thieves on either side of Jesus. One was deriding him. He had joined in with the crowd around, mocking Jesus. If you're the King of the Jews, if you're the Messiah, the Son of God, come down off that cross and take us down with you. Deliver us from this death and with yourself. Don't leave us up here. Take us down too, said one of them, mocking him, making fun of him. The other thief, he called out the criminal who mocked Jesus. You are under the same penalty of death. And moreover, we deserve our penalty. We deserve this condemnation. But he, Jesus, does not. How dare you mock him when you're under the same sentence of penalty as he is? And then this criminal, this thief, turns to Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This thief said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, wow. A thief, a robber, someone who had stolen things and had been sentenced to death by the Roman Empire for stealing things, probably from them. This thief, this robber, recognizes who Jesus is, recognizes who the importance of what's going on here, at least to some degree, and then turns to Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in so doing, wrote one of the most important prayer hymns of the 20th century. When I was in seminary and then in the monastery, we liked to sing this little praise hymn, this little prayer hymn of the church, part of the taizé worship life of the Christian faith. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You sing it over and over again, repeatedly, listening as the others in your midst sang it with you, sometimes in harmony, sometimes in unison. It was calming, it was soothing, it was transformative. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. These words that were spoken by the thief on the cross hanging next to Jesus, to Jesus. These words have informed our prayer during Lent, our prayer during times of trial and difficulty, our prayer during times of disaster, our prayer during times of fear, during times of the dark night of the soul, during the times of the valley of the shadow of death. These words have informed our prayer life as Christians, quite literally for centuries. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, they were written by a thief. Wow. They were spoken by a thief. They were prayed to Jesus right there on the cross by a thief, of someone who didn't deserve to be even praying to Jesus. Not by the rules and regulations of the society or of the church. After all, this thief, this robber, this unknown person, this unnamed person by Scripture, tradition of the church has identified him as Decimus. He is actually the patron saint of repentant thieves and funeral directors. That's interesting. That's interesting in the extreme. He spoke these words. They became the basis for this hymn. I'll never forget singing in the monastery, sitting there. It was during Lent, and one of the monks, as we were singing through it, elbows me. David Ryhoff elbows me, and I look at him, and he says, out there. He whispers, out there is one of the richest men in Boston. And I looked, and he was singing this hymn, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And it just flashed in my head. I couldn't resist it. I said, you know, one of those naughty moments. I said, wow, a thief is singing another thief song. Wow. Wow. We all sing this song. We think we're so holy when we sing it. We think we're so perfect when we sing it. We're not. We're like the thief, who recognizes his error, who recognizes he's getting what he deserves, and he's still praying to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What about Jesus' answer? Jesus didn't say, now repeat after me, I am a sinner. No, he doesn't give him the sinner's prayer. He doesn't examine his life to see if he is moving on to perfection. He hasn't checked to see if he's been baptized by immersion as a believer. He simply says, today, you will be with me in paradise. Doesn't Jesus know this is a thief? You don't let thieves in that easily. He's not, come on, he might steal the keys to the kingdom. What's wrong with you, Jesus? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, this very instant, this Jesus' answer speaks to us in many different ways. He says, right now, this very moment, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Right now, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. The first thing I take from Jesus' response is, regardless of the valley of the shadow of death that we may be going through, regardless of the difficulty that we may be in, regardless of the pain that we may be in, regardless of whatever it is we may be facing, illness, fear, loss, family disasters, personal disasters, financial disasters, no matter what disaster we may be in, today, Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you are with me. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You will be with me. You are with me now. Secondly, we learn that even though that first thief wants to get down off the cross, so truthfully, we have to accept that we've got to go through the cross. Yeah, sometimes we get out of the disaster we're in, but usually we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We have to go through the valley of weeping. We have to go through the dark night of the soul. We have to go through the difficult things that face us. The good news is that today you will be with me in paradise. Today I am with you right now. Jesus was with them, suffering with them, having forgiven them. Remember, he said just a few verses earlier, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He said that for the Romans. He said that for the Jewish Sanhedrin. He said that for the people who were mocking him. He said that for the two thieves, the one who were going to mock him and the one who said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. We go through the valley of the shadow of death, but he is with us, and his rod and his staff, they comfort us. He suffers with us on the cross for us and with us in our place and alongside of us. Jesus is with us. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Paradise, a reference found only a couple other places in the New Testament, references to imagery or metaphors looking back to Eden, where life was pristine until we messed it up. Today, you will be with me. You are with me. You will continue with me. You will abide with me in paradise. I will go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He said this to a thief, someone who doesn't deserve mercy. He said this to a thief, someone who had stolen, who had been a robber. He said this to a thief who had prayed, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We as believers, we as Christians, have to realize that salvation isn't just some kind of eternal get out of hell free card. Salvation is being with Jesus in the here and now, being with God in our life today, even in the difficult times, especially in the difficult times. Jesus goes with us and suffers with us and promises us, today you will be with me in paradise. Eternity begins now. Not tomorrow, not in the sweet by and by, but now, today, in paradise. We have to remember that. We do not travel this life alone. We do not travel this life without the presence of the one who suffered and died for us. That is the promise to the thief on the cross. That is the promise to you and to me. Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, does not call for deliverance from the mess. It's a plea to be with Jesus. May that be our plea. And may we then hear the words of Christ. Today you will be with me in paradise. I am here with you, Jesus says. I am suffering with you, Jesus says. I will go with you, Jesus says, through to the end. With that kind of promise, we have nothing to fear. He who said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, also says to us, today you will be with me in paradise. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people dwell
in your presence, Lord.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2018 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.